Zedon, thinking out loud in color.
Does he know this is just audio?
March 3rd, 2005.
I'm Tim Shadle.
Hi, welcome to Zedon. Today we're going to be continuing the discussion we have started on business portions of Java code. We talked already a lot about, well, not a lot, but we've talked already a little bit about Spring, about some of the effects of peer reviews. So we've kind of looked at tools and process a bit. But this week we're looking at actual business function in your code. Last time we talked about the money class, how that can affect the small portions of your application focused around handling money, handling it properly. We're going to take a step up today and talk about accounting patterns and how handling objects in a fashion that's more consistent with principles of accounting can really structure your program to deal with money in a way that's very standardized and a lot more clear and, I think, considerate of the business needs. Primary article I'm going to be using to talk from today is Martin Fowler's Accounting Patterns. You know, accounting systems are something that have been programmed since like the dawn of time. Honestly, my grandfather programmed accounting systems at GE. People have been doing this for a long, long time. So it's not anything that's new. In fact, you know, the accounting principles themselves have been around since like the 1500s or whenever that monk had developed the double entry accounting system. So if you're a programmer, especially Java, the article's focused around Java in its examples, but if you're a programmer dealing with accounting systems, you definitely ought to pick up a book on basic accounting, or if you're just going through school, definitely sign up for an accounting 101 type of course, because in so many different situations I've been in already in programming, there's a need to handle money in some sort. You know, it may not be a full-out accounting system. It may just be dealing with, you know, assessing a bill for a credit card system, or you know, assessing a bill because you know, you're taking in some money for a simple service that you're offering over the web, or whatever it may be. It may not be a full-blown accounting system that you need, but a general understanding of the ideas surrounding accounting, I think, is widely applicable to a number of areas where computer programmers are involved for their work. And when you've got the basic ideas of counting down for money, you can really begin to see how some of these same principles and patterns can really apply to quantities that are not money. You know, quantities of inventory, quantities of even files. I mean, you can look at the differences and additions between files if you're looking at, like, say, a version control system. Can almost be treated as file accounting. So the general ideas of behind accounting apply in a wide variety of scenarios. So let's take a glance at the accounting patterns. One of the basic ideas presented in this article is the fact that you have business events that occur, and in reaction to those events you need to keep a log of accounting entries. And so, for example, an event might be that a user comes to your website and signs up for a service. The accounting entry might be that the user owes you $20. And, you know, sometime in the middle of the night, a process is going to come by, look at all the people that owe us money and bill them, bill their credit card number. Maybe it happens instantaneously, and if the credit card passes, we make an accounting entry saying, yes, we received the payment. If it fails, we're going to go ahead and try the credit card in 2 or 3 days. You know, maybe we have a business rule that says, okay, when the user first signs up, the credit card has to pass, or else we don't give them the service. Otherwise, you know, we'll let them, the credit card passes, we let them on, But for the renewal, we might let it fail the first time, and within a day, we'll give it another chance, and then we'll cut off their access. There could be a number of different rules decided by the business. So in that instance, accounting entries become really important to know when we assessed the amount that they owed and when we were actually able to collect it. And at any given time, we can pull up a list of how much is owed to us versus how much we've collected. So that's one simple example. But again, it's all driven by the business event. And it becomes a lot cleaner, I think, in your code as you're focusing on events that can occur at the business level. That translates a lot more clearly into functions of functionality. You know, for example, web requests or button clicks or, you know, processing of a form that's been signed. You know, for example, you may only be able to say, okay, this person's been enrolled in our system once we've received a paper that's been filled out with the person's signature. Then we can actually go ahead and process this particular event, and that might include the transfer of money from, you know, their old bank account to their new bank account, something like that. So the identification of business events is really key to this process. And then it's understanding the ideas behind accounting, that you can have entries in several different accounts that result from one business event. It becomes clear that your function of your system is then to translate these granular, you know, business events into detailed entries into your system of accounting. Whether that, again, it doesn't have to be taking accounting just for money. It can be that, you know, we've promised this user so many hours of internet connection. I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, we've promised them so many downloads. And they have four downloads remaining, two downloads remaining, whatever. You can translate in to, you know, terms of that. You can say, okay, the user signed up, we collected $20, you know, so that goes into the account that keeps track of how much money you have. And this particular user also has, we owe them four downloads. And so at that point, you can tell, if you need to, how many more downloads you're liable for in your company. And maybe part of your agreement is that those number of downloads, you know, expire at the rate of, you know, 50% a month, or, you know, four downloads a month expire if left unused, so that you can clean out your liability. And as you begin to look at your system in terms of, you know, assets that we've received in, revenue and liability, things that we owe the customer, you begin to look at the long term of how you want to structure your policies to include clearing out of liabilities. I mean, if you take a look at a lot of the gift cards that are issued nowadays, they say they expire at such and such a percent a month until 18 months out, then they're no longer of any value. I mean, these are the accountants that are looking forward and saying, we don't want to have the liability for, you know, someone with this gift card to walk in 20 years later and, you know, have it still be worth $20, because, you know, we have this liability if we owe somebody $20 that's left on our books for, you know, 30 years or whatever. You want to be able to look at ways you can recoup that. And that's kind of much the same way that, you know, if you're planning out a database and estimating how much space you're going to use, you look out and you don't want to be using 5 terabytes in one table after, you know, 2 years. You look at archiving strategies. So looking at your business process in terms of both money and accounting for liabilities of other such services you owe for the customer, really begins to help you not only make your code clean, but also crystallize your business process. And if you're looking at from that perspective, then oftentimes, especially if you're touching multiple money accounts, you want to know, you want to be able to track back and say, okay, I need to make sure that I can look at from the detail of one account, I can go back and see all of the different things that were affected. For example, if you're using accounting structures to keep track of inventory, and a user on your site ordered, you know, three pencils, two pens, and a Mercedes. You know, you want to look at the Mercedes and find out what else you need to ship with it. So you can go backwards and see all the things that are connected. You also might want to say, you know, if you're keeping track of a loan payment. You know, if a person made a transfer to your company and they paid for a loan and they put some money in a savings account and you received one check for those two, the total of those two items, you need to be able to say, okay, you know, where did the money go that we applied for this check? So a lot of this is pretty intuitive since most people deal with different, you know, their checking account, savings account, that kind of stuff. Part of it is just simply figuring out how to structure your objects. So Martin Fowler's got a great setup in that he begins talking about having entries. You know, obviously the line items in your account in particular become of vital importance in that they show on what day how much money was put into this account. And then he abstracts that a little further into, well, we need to have a way that we can figure out, given this event, how do we put, how do we know which accounting entries to make? So he introduces the ideas of posting rules and agreements. And basically from this, the agreement is a set of related posting rules. He uses a utilities example. So say we have, we're selling electricity, and we have an event that says customer 419 had their meter read today, and that meter said that they used 124 kilowatt hours of electricity. Well, we locate, you know, now we need to take that event and figure out how to make the accounting entries so that we can bill the customer appropriately. We look up, you know, given the properties of customer 419, we look up and find out that they are on the 9-to-9 plan, where it's a flat rate from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and a different rate from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. So we pull up that agreement that they've signed up for, and we can then take their meter reading for the times of day or whatever and apply the proper rate and come up with a bill. We can make an accounting entry in how much they owe us in that account that says, you know, they owe us $92. And so that agreement has posting rules, and then there might be four or five posting rules that say, okay, we need to put post $92 to how much they owe us, and, you know, maybe we add, you know, they live in, you know, zip code 12479, so that means we add another 3% because of that county tax, and then, you know, they're in the state of Minnesota, so we add, you know, 0.5% tax because they're in Minnesota. And so all these, you know, different rules fire, and we figure out their full bill, each rule adding a little bit of money to their bill. But all of it being contained in this general 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. agreement. So at this point, we've then got a generic way to take and say, okay, given an event, how do I turn this event into accounting entries? So your system can then be programmed from the standpoint of events, agreements, posting rules, and accounting entries and accounts. So you can process events, and on the other side, you can begin to do a lot of reporting. You know, given a particular set of accounts, we need to now, you know, it's that the time of the month where we put out the bills or we run the payroll or we, you know, it's nightly, so we're going to go bill the credit cards of all of our users that have expired today. So we just can pull out their account, figure out easily how much they owe by doing a quick sum across the entries or looking up a summary, and then go ahead and bill them. And then the billing itself might generate a new set of accounting entries. It might be a new event. And so you can kind of see your system do a little bit of a dance here with, you know, one set of events that causes liabilities to grow, another set of events that does collections and decreases those liabilities or increases your assets. But the important part is that the concepts that you're able to discuss are a lot clearer. Another important aspect of accounting rules that he talks about is taking a look at the way you adjust items. Most of the time, if you're dealing with accounting of any kind, whether it be of inventory or whether it be of money, you're focused on being able to track a particular value over time and see the reasons why it changed. If you take a look, there's three different major ways you can make adjustments to items. So say you key in $71 and you really meant $17. What do you do about it? The first way is you can just simply delete it and replace it with $17. You have no record anywhere that $71 is what should have been recorded. The other thing you can do is you can say, well, I really meant $71. I really meant $17, so let me do a negative, what's the difference there, $54. So you can add say negative 54, and that brings your 71 down to 17, which you really meant. The other thing you can do is put a negative 71 and then a positive 17. So that shows, and that's called the reversal adjustment. So the basic distinction between the reversal adjustment and the difference adjustment is exactly what you value. Do you value just seeing a summary of the change, in which case you really want a difference adjustment, or do you value seeing explicit canceling of each line item, which is a reversal adjustment? For our business, we've really chosen about 99% of the time we're going to be using reversal adjustments. We really like the idea of being able to explicitly see the canceling, being able to have a nice audit trail of what's going on. Tomorrow we'll get in to a little bit more about some of the ways that we've looked at the accounting ideas and implementation. Take a look at some of the stuff we've prototyped in Drools and some objects in general. But for now, that's kind of an intro to some accounting principles ideas, and I'd really recommend you do a couple things. You grab a book on basic accounting, take a look at assets, revenue, expenses, liabilities, that kind of stuff, the general accounting equation. And also pick up, download the accounting patterns article linked to in the show notes by Martin Fowler. And with that, I'll see you next time. If you've got something to say, go ahead and leave a comment on the weblog at timshadle.com or send me an email at z.feedback@gmail.com. That's ZDOT feedback@gmail.com. See ya.